Welcome back, everybody, to another Championship Week video notebook. Thanks to Mr. Sleek. I know on his screen there it's day number 7. We are 1 week away from knowing what the NCAA tournament selection committee has come up with, what the brackets are.
Yeah.
But
well, everybody else is. We already know because they are taking direction from us, as you know. Like, I mean, they're watching our shows. They're looking at our notes. They have the internet in the room. And this is available to them.
Yes, this show is available for them to watch in the room. I don't know why they would, but I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by Joby Fortson, John Slika, and David Griggs. First,
how are they going to know what to do if they're not watching us?
They're going to read the website.
Oh, okay.
Let's start off this show. We do go over all the conference tournament games, and we like to start before we get that with some news and notes. And we did have the conclusion of regular season play for all teams today, the American and the Big Ten finishing up in a few games of note. First of all, in the American, Joby, let me start off with you. Houston looked really, really good today at Cincinnati.
Well, I mean, Houston had the slip-up, obviously, against Central Florida that probably cost them an opportunity at a two. They basically went into Cincinnati today and said, hey, wait a minute, we might still be there. And we constantly were saying, hey, there's 9 teams for 8 spots, with Houston being that before the Central Florida game. Now it might be back to 9 teams for 8 spots. Well, actually 10, because LSU has moved into the conversation since that time. Houston, let's watch out. They're definitively, even if they lose in the first round, their opening round of the American, they're definitively a 3 seed now, I think, very confidently. And they have arguments for a 2, depending on what other people in those conversations do.
And meanwhile, we also were treated as some Mick Cronin post-game theater where he was calling out his team's toughness one more time.
That seems to happen 3 or 4 times a year. Sorry, David, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, like, as much as we pore over who's a 1, who's a 2, who's a 3, I don't think Houston's going to get up to the 2 line. But I need to follow up by saying, does it really matter? Because at the end of the day, once the tournament starts, you almost, as much time as we have obsessed over this since November, it's all kind of out the window. Today, I would always ask the question whether or not Houston had it in them to take down a heavyweight, the ones that we're looking at for the 1 and 2 lines. Not that Cincinnati is, but Cincinnati at home, by that margin, when the game was as close as it was and when Cincinnati had all the momentum going the way that they did, they can. This is a Houston team that could go to the Final Four. They are that good.
I agree with David wholeheartedly on that ability. Their defense is very sound. They have better offense than what people give them credit for. They're last year's Texas Tech team in a lot of ways, is how I view it. The one issue that I do see with Houston is, because their offense can go cold, this is where the 2 versus 3 matters. A 14 seed like Vermont could come up and bite them. I don't see the 15s this year, your Murray States maybe, doing that.
Well, we're going to get to that. One second, Joe. We're going to get to that because I think there is a very dangerous 15 or 16 seed that got in today. So, but we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But a few other notes on today's games. The other big game in the Big Ten, Wisconsin had a huge lead on Ohio State, choked it all away, went to overtime, then found a way to pick up the win and keep their shot at a protected seat alive, David, at least, and hurt Ohio State's chances, although we still think they're in at this point.
I think Ohio State's in. When you top them out, and I realize you can't just top a team out, you have to middle them out and bottom them out. But their road wins at Creighton, at Cincinnati, are just better than what most of the rest of the bubble has. I think that's going to be enough. They are certainly cutting it close. But I do think Ohio State's going to be in, and they've got a very interesting – one of the more interesting pre-quarterfinal games we're going to see all year when they play Indiana in that first Big Ten tournament game.
Yeah, they're playing Indiana, who got the home win over Rutgers and kept their hopes alive as well. Indiana still needs another win to have any chance of feeling like that they're going to be in the tournament, and maybe multiple wins, but definitely things are going the right way suddenly for the Hoosiers when we had written them off several times. One other game of note, Iowa with the loss at Nebraska. Inexplicably, Nebraska finally won a game, David.
Here we go. Nebraska on their way. They're just 11 wins away from the national title. Everybody doubted them, but look at where they are now. I mean, here they are on the cusp of making the NCAA tournament, going to the Final Four. Now, it is rather unfair. The Big Ten, once again, making them play in that opening round. I don't know why they have to do it, and like Michigan and Michigan State do not. It just seems grossly unfair. But that's the dark web world that we live in, I guess.
I'll tell you what, let's, on that note, just move on here, because I just we got to get some games here, the conference tournament games. I'm going to go ahead and pull up the screen here with the games. And Joby, I mentioned that there might be a very dangerous 15 or 16 seed, and this is that team right there.
Yeah,
let me start with you here. Bradley, you know, by a total of 8 points, won the for all three games combined, won the Missouri Valley Conference Championship.
And they were left for dead in this game
this
today.
Yeah.
But it was really a microcosm of their entire season. Bradley came into the season, despite some transfers out, Bradley came into the season with a lot of people saying, hey, they could win the Valley. I mean, this was – I don't know where we had him, but Bradley had a lot of talk of, hey,
not winning the Valley.
They were among the teams that we
discussed. No, they were definitely among the teams.
Yeah. We liked Southern Illinois a lot, and we liked Loyola a lot, and neither one of those teams won the Valley either.
And Bradley, I like Bradley preseason, but they looked awful in preseason. You know, in the pre-conference season, they didn't do the job. They were struggling in. I think they lost a certain number of – how many games they lose to start the Valley season? They were like –
I mean,
it was really bad. They were like 1-4, something like that. And then, if you've been paying attention over the last month, they've been playing really good ball, and they've started winning. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you notice that there are a lot of twos and threes in those tier three wins, you know, and most of those tier ones are 12-1, 11-1. You know, they did lose to Loyola Chicago late, but Loyola Chicago was the regular season champs. Bradley, and Drake was number two on the road. Bradley started building and building and building, and just like this game, came back and nipped Northern Iowa at the end. What an exciting game, too, though Northern Iowa did kind of help them out a little bit with a very ill-timed double foul tee. I mean,
that didn't help. But John, this is one of the things here. When you look at this Bradley profile, I think when the committee looks at this, despite the fact that I thought this team looked pretty good the last 3 days, this is a 15-16 seed profile. It's garbage.
Well, they took the long and winding road here, but at the same time, we also have to congratulate head coach Brian Wardle for his first trip to the NCAA tournament. He's actually had better teams when he was coaching at Green Bay, but they were never able to get over the hump.
He's done really well there.
David, we had two other bids that were handed out today. Next up in the Big South, we're behind DJ Laster's 32 points. Gardner Webb, after winning at Campbell on Friday, wins at Radford today and gives the first ever NCAA tournament.
Yeah, what a story. A lot of good stories in the Big South this year, but this is one. And how about Gardner Webb? This was a team that, even as early as November, had some near – They had some chances to get some really big wins and missed it. Lost, was it in one or two overtimes to Furman? I remember watching the game.
They won at Georgia Tech. They won at Wake Forest. Those are.
Yeah. So they're winning the types of road games that NC State's been winning, and that everybody seems to love. But anyway,
this didn't beat Georgia Tech. Come on.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
I mean,
which raises the question: should Gardner Webb get a better seed than NC State? I bet they beat NC State. But anyway, they had their ups and downs, but their ups were pretty high. And how about what they did in this conference tournament? The standings were log jammed, so there wasn't that much separating 1-4. But they went on the road and won two true road games against pretty good teams to win this tournament. Now, the game that they play in the round of 64 is going to be really tough to win, but is it – you know, winning two games on the road against Campbell and Radford is tough too. So they're going to be seasoned, and they're probably going to be up for it. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but holy crap, do not overlook them.
And to their credit, Gardner Webb actually had two different 13-point runs, including getting Radford into a 20-8 hole early on.
Yeah.
And David, on top of that, I actually think Gardner Webb, on the strength of those two ACC wins and what they did against Radford, who is going to give some strength, if you look at the pure numbers, Gardner Webb is right now better than the best team in some conferences out there. Your St. Francis PAs. They're looking at a 15 seed probably right now.
Maybe even better.
They're probably ahead of Bradley on the seed list.
I that's exactly where I have them. I just did a seed list tonight, Joby. I had Gardner Webb at the bottom of my 15 line and Bradley at the top of my 16. So you just nailed exactly where I think they are. But let's look at one of the conference. John, the Atlantic Sun championship game today, and amazing game. I think this was a one-point game the entire way until the very end. Liberty gets the victory.
This wasn't quite the same during the regular season where Liberty was actually dominating most of that game before Lipscomb made it respectable. But this is another case of Lipscomb will at least get some consideration, but more than likely they're probably going to be going to the NIT to make somebody's life miserable in round one.
Yeah, David, I have that Liberty profile up here on the right. I'm going to put Lipscomb back up on the left because right. That is the question. Is there an argument for an at-large bid for this Lipscomb team as it loads up here?
Well, yes, there is an argument. The win at TCU, the win at Liberty, both those teams really strong at home. 11 true road wins, pretty good, albeit a lot of them against sub-200 teams. You can certainly make an argument, and if you're looking at things like this, you know, going to Louisville, being really competitive, only losing by 4, the close losses to Belmont, and you can make the argument. Is it strong enough to actually – to where I think it's going to get in? I think their chances are less than half, maybe way less than half. And one of the things that is really, really anchoring them down is that loss to the Gulf Coast. Now, you want to talk about a bad week. They get out there. They're cruising. And at this point, we were putting them in every week when we were doing our bracket projections around the 10, 11, and sometimes I think even 9. I think we had them as high as 9.
They go
out there, they lose it home to Liberty and lose it in a game where they just played really poorly. And you're like, that's going to hurt, but they still got a good chance. And then later that same week, if I'm not mistaken, they go and lose the Gulf Coast. And right then and there, you kind of knew that if they didn't get the automatic bid, they were in trouble. Well, they didn't. You can still make an argument. The committee still might. But honestly, I don't think our committee is going to take them, and I don't think the real one will either.
But by the same token, it's sweet revenge for Liberty, who actually lost at the buzzer to a Radford last year in their walk-off in the Big South.
Yeah, so nice job. Liberty in their first year in the Atlantic Sun. How about this? Undefeated, never lost an Atlantic Sun tournament game. So congrats to the...
Really? That is amazing.
Never lost an Atlantic Sun tournament game. Liberty, Gardner-Webb, Bradley, all in. Joby, it was semifinal day today in the Southern Conference. And
yes,
we expected some great games. And we had some pretty good ones, at least the second game there.
Yeah, well, and Wofford, second one was thrilling. It was exciting. Furman stormed back, looked like that. Okay, Furman's going to do it. They're going to get that. And if they had won today, Furman had a bid. I truly believe that. I don't know if the same's for UNCG. And here's the ironic thing is, their best win took a loss today. And that loss was Furman. I mean, yeah, I know it sounds silly, but, you know, Furman falling down hurts UNCG's two wins versus Furman.
UNC Greensboro exactly. Hurt themselves by beating Furman because Furman.
Yeah, and they could have used East Tennessee State upsetting Wofford and getting a shot there. But UNCG might need to beat Wofford. They're right on the edge. I think Furman took the hit that knocks them out today. Because I just don't see them being ahead of UNCG in the pecking order after losing 2 of 3 to them. But I
disagree with that because I still think Furman's weighs so heavily. But I think at this point we're going to probably have a one-bid SoCon unless –
And Wofford looks awesome. Green. I'll let others talk about it, but Wofford's wearing white and comfortably wearing white. Even if they lose to what I believe is a very good UNC Greensboro team, a team that is probably better than their neighbors down the road, down I-85 in Raleigh. This is where we rag on NC State a lot.
Deservedly so.
dead truth, UNC Greensboro is a better team than NC State. They are. It is not a question. Yeah. And if they can upset Wofford, Wofford is, A, not taking a bad loss because this is they'd be losing to a 12 seed, 11 seed, and they're they'd fall from what is right now a 6 or 7 to a 7 or 8. They'd still, I think they're in great shape.
Wofford is absolutely a lock. And so, David, the only question is, I think at this point, the only way, in my opinion, though, to get a two-bit SoCal was with a Greensboro win tomorrow. I don't think that, that Furman or Greensboro are going to get in. I think they'll be right there. I think they'll be like one or two seeds in the NIT, but that's where they're going to end up.
Yeah, you asked, can an argument be made for Lipscomb? Yeah, I think a stronger one can be made for Furman. So if you see Lipscomb go in, it probably means Furman's in.
Well, you never know with the way the committee works.
Well, but yeah, you never know.
John, it was semifinal day also in the Patriot League today, where we did not really have that great of a games.
Yeah, this was where I thought Bucknell's matchup advantage over Lehigh was going to power them through. And sure enough, that one was a bit of a blowout. And Colgate, where his other number one seeds have been dropping like flies the past couple days, they move on and they'll actually get the home game where they did beat Bucknell about a week or so ago. But are they going to be able to do the same thing against a Bucknell team that suddenly starting to look a little bit hot again?
Yeah, David, both these teams have looked really good so far in their first two games. I think we could finally be in for a real good game here in the Patriot League final, though, Wednesday night.
Yeah, we haven't had many good games at any stage of the tournament. I mean, American Navy was kind of fun, but it's been kind of blah for the most part. So hopefully we get a good championship game.
Well, we had that interesting quarterfinal day when all four top seeds were losing. But
That's true. Well, see, that was
forgot about that already.
Yeah, that was hard for me to watch. So as far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen.
And Joby also was semifinal day in the Metro Atlantic today. Second game just finished up a little while ago. Iona cruised over Siena, and the Monmouth Hawks finally made a Metro Atlantic championship, and it was not in one of the years when they were a bubble.
Yeah, let's see if they can do it. Iona has been the class the second half of the season in this conference. This conference has been a mess, to be very honest, all year. You know, we all thought Ryder might be a full step, a link. If this was a horse race, you said, oh, Ryder would win by a couple of links, and Ryder just didn't do it. They just never fully came aboard. Give Iona credit, Tim Kloos, you know, et cetera. But, man, will King Rice get his bid? That is the question, Chad.
I think I'd read that Ryder had actually lost their last seven straight quarterfinal games, which is hard to believe.
But you know, this has been a pretty good rivalry here in this conference the last few years. Iona Monmouth, although
it really
going to be this year. Monmouth started the season 0-12. I'm sorry, before winning their last non-conference game over at Penn, believe it or not. And then played really well in conference play, but has a chance to be the third team ever to go to the NCAA tournament with 20 losses.
Yeah, well, you know, and if that's what they set out to do at the beginning of the year, we want to be the third team to ever go to the NCAA tournament with 20 losses. You have to congratulate them. Let's give Tim Kloos, and he's someone that in the past, although not so much in recent years, we used to have a lot of fun with. They had a tendency to lose in bizarre, spectacular ways, blowing big leads. Turning the ball over in the final 10 seconds multiple times. We even came up with a term called cluesing mint, meaning you lost a game that you had no business losing or you lost in a ridiculous way. But remember how Iona started the season. Before the season even started, they had the incident with the key player, their best player, getting kicked off the team for an altercation. I don't know the specifics, but it was some sort of altercation with a coach. Not a good way to get started, yet look at finishing first and now one game away from the NCAA tournament again. Is Tim Kloos, like, on anybody's short list? Like, he must like Iona because I can't imagine he hasn't had chances to go somewhere else.
Now, I did have to look up the archives here. Iona and Monmouth actually did meet in the 2016 Metro Atlantic Championship, which Iona did end up winning.
Right, but not in the finals, I don't think.
And
I think it was the final.
It was the championship.
Okay, it was the championship game. Okay, thank you.
If you had the date selection, it'd be fun to look at Monmouth and Prairie View's resume side by side because Prairie View has done the exact same thing as Monmouth. They were something like 1-14 entering Gonzaga Conference play, and they now won like
Well, we may get to see them play.
It's funny that you say that, Joe, because that's what I look at. When I look at this Monmouth season, or honestly, the entire Metro Atlantic season, the way it went out, this was SWAC-like, the way that this conference played out this year, especially Monmouth, where you play in the SWAC, where they play all these guaranteed bye games and are lucky to win one or two each of them, and then the season really starts when conference play begins.
Still not quite as good as last year when Texas Southern went 0 for non-conference season until they went to Dayton and beat, I think it was the MEAC champion in the first four last year, NC Central.
Let's keep things rolling here. It was also quarterfinal round day in the Colonial today, where, David, we saw Hofstra, Northeastern, and College of Charleston all not have too much trouble, any of the three of them. Although, I guess James Madison gave Hofstra a bit of a game. And then the upset was Delaware over Bill and Mary.
Right. Bill and Mary kind of, we'll talk about their whole season was an upset. Was expecting way more out of them. And at least for the first half, they looked to be in control of this game. They went ice cold. Delaware, to their credit, put them away.
Delaware had like a 15-0 run midway through the second half.
Yeah, they did.
They went from like down 12 to up 6 before in a blink of an eye.
Right. And but Hofstra had to sweat James Madison. I don't think we were too surprised by that. But again, Northeastern, no trouble whatsoever. And then College of Charleston, while not a blowout, I think they were pretty much 8 to 10 points ahead for pretty much the entire game. So we've got mostly chalk with the exception of Delaware into the semis. And I'm really interested in that Northeastern CFC game. I don't think Hofstra is going to have too much trouble with Delaware.
I disagree. Once again, just like yesterday, I think that Delaware might give Hofstra a game. I think in the end, Hofstra is going to pull it out, but I think it'll be a close one.
It's not what you said yesterday.
I said yesterday with James Madison.
You did not say Delaware is going to give Hofstra a game.
I said James Madison would give them a game.
Delaware and Hofstra didn't even play today. Hofstra played James Madison, James. It's not what you said.
Salika, what do you think happens tomorrow?
Oh, I think it's going to be pretty similar. Hofstra, they had been struggling a bit during the second half of the year. They'll still win, but I think Northeastern's got the momentum right now.
Okay. Let's move on to one of the conferences that was in play here, Joby, the Summit League. It was the last two quarterfinals. It was two snoozers. It's North Dakota State. Got a test in the first half from Oral Roberts, put him away in the second half, and Fort Wayne just rolled South Dakota.
Yeah, it was surprising – the margin was a surprise.
Well, you got to take a look at John Conchar there for Fort Wayne also. Yeah. Another triple-double.
It was 26 is generous. It was at points sometimes 30 to 35. I mean, Fort Wayne definitely took care of business. They play like that again today. They upset Omaha. But, I think the eventual – this is one of those places where I go, well, hello, Dayton. Yeah, this is one of those – when I'm talking about teams like Gardner-Webb and Bradley, well, they're ahead of some teams that are – no matter who wins the conference tournament, hello Summit League for one of these thanks to South Dakota State's loss. And we're still in depression over Dom.
Yeah, David, tomorrow we've got this Omaha-Fort Wayne. Like I mentioned, John Conchar got the triple-double. I think second or third one he's gone this year now for Fort Wayne. He's had an amazing career. I think it'll be a great game if you Fort Wayne and Omaha. And the winner of that should be favored to win Tuesday's night's championship.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And that is almost a de facto championship game, that Fort Wayne-Omaha game.
Although North Dakota State's always a factor in this tournament. So I think they're going to roll Western Illinois tomorrow night.
Yeah, they should. Western Illinois is one of the greatest quarterfinal teams in Summit League history.
With all the South Dakota fans going home, look for NDSU fans to just literally take over the building.
And that's because NDSU fans have a following, per se, but I would dare say I don't know the following in Omaha. I know NDSU has a very strong following.
I think they do, but
Omaha is actually, I would imagine, closer to Sioux Falls than
Joby, it doesn't matter. There's going to be way more North Dakota State fans there than Omaha. Omaha
does
not travel.
They're sports fans, whether it's football.
Omaha doesn't travel to Omaha.
John. Back and play in the Horizon League tomorrow night, semifinal day, Green Bay, Wright State, Oakland, Northern Kentucky. These games are being played on campus, in Detroit.
Yeah, this was a game that Oakland, when they played at the Blacktop, they did beat Northern Kentucky earlier this year. It's going to be a different animal this time around, so I'm guessing we're probably going to see Wright State and NKU round three come Tuesday night.
And that'd be a fun one.
That's what I'm really hoping for, just because, I mean, when was the last time those two played and it didn't come down to the final minute, at least? I mean, that's just turning into one of a really good under-the-radar rivalry. I don't think they've ever played each other in the conference tournament, so it would be fun to see that. But again, like both these teams, while the top two seeds, have had their struggles this year at times. It wouldn't shock me if it was Oakland Green Bay either.
Yeah. And also back in play after the day off today in the West Coast Conference in the seven layer burrito, as we call it, of the West Coast Conference tournament, Joby,
the Palsies.
With BYU, you got to take a day off on Sunday. The Lord rested.
St. Mary's, San Diego. Can we see San Diego keep their things going here?
Yes. Yes. This is very possible. Not saying it will happen, but San Diego, do you see what they did to BYU? That shouldn't shock you. San Diego played well preseason. They underperformed during the West Coast Conference season, but they are a very solid team. The one note of pause I have here is that St. Mary's themselves are playing. The only reason they're at two is because they took off during the conference season. They are playing much better ball, because if you took at the full body of work, quote unquote, and ranked all the West Coast teams behind Gonzaga, San Francisco would have been that team with a body of work. But St. Mary's has actually done the job, and they are playing very well. I think their only losses recently are to Gonzaga. So this is that 2-7, the 7's very misleading. It's almost like a 2-3 in a lot of ways.
It really is.
Let's be honest. It's who's going to the Killing Field on Tuesday night.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we need to even discuss the Gonzaga Pepperdine game. I expect the Zags to roll. But, David, let me.
So, again, we don't have Rocco to tell us about the longtime friendship between Lorenzo Romar and Mark Few. I wish he could hear right now.
John, we have two other conferences starting tomorrow night. One of them is the Mid-American Conference. It is first round day. These first round games are on campus sites before everyone moves to Cleveland on Thursday. So, we got Miami, Ohio at Akron, Western Michigan, Central Michigan, Ohio, Northern Illinois, Ball State, Eastern Michigan. Start off by telling me if you expect any upsets tomorrow, any of the road teams winning.
Well, Akron and Miami is going to be kind of a pick 'em right there, but I still think Akron is going to win that at home. Central Michigan actually got pretty hot later in the year. I don't see them losing to Western Michigan. I think Ohio is a possible upset candidate because they've been pretty tough to beat at the Convo Center. They've beaten Miami and most notably Bowling Green down there. Northern Illinois, they've beaten Buffalo at home, but this just screams trap game right here. And then Ball State is another possibility for an Eastern Michigan team that's kind of been a disappointment throughout the year, but I could still see Eastern winning that one.
Yeah, you know, Central Michigan, Western Michigan, it's a pretty good rivalry. They played the last game of the regular season also, so this is back-to-back games for those two teams.
Yeah.
It was a close one in the season finale. But, David, who wins this event? Is it Buffalo, or can they get upset?
I think it's Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I think they're there on a mission. They've taken every game seriously. I don't see them taking this tournament off. And, like, while they did have – like, while they did trip up a couple times during the season, they have – I think they're playing better now than they were in November and December when they got those wins that got them into the rankings. They are really playing well.
Yeah. Real quick, Joby, you agree, Buffalo?
Yeah, and like we mentioned, Wofford, if Buffalo takes care – they're a step below behind Wofford, in my opinion.
I think so, too.
They're not far behind Wofford. What they have at stake is, do you want to be wearing white or dark jersey in their first game? They win this tournament, they're a 7/8. They lose, they're a 9/10, because the loss will not be, you know, even as good as UNC Greensboro at the end of the day. So – they've got something to play for. I'd much rather be playing in the 8-9 game if I'm Buffalo than be relegated maybe as low as a 10, because seeing how the committee sometimes punishes, you know, losses by under the radar conferences. I wouldn't want to be walking into a random game against a Cincinnati team that had just bowed out in the first round of the American, for instance, that or whatever. I'd hate that game if I'm Buffalo. Let's give me, on the other hand, you know, give me Clemson, you know, that gets hot in the tournament or something like that. Yeah, you know, give me one of those teams.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously.
Give me Ohio State.
The other thing to look forward to in this conference, though, this is a potential bid thief conference. So if somebody other than Buffalo wins it, other team gets knocked off.
Very true.
David, one other conference starting tomorrow.
Yes, there is.
Now, there were supposed to be two games, but because of one of these teams being on the APR ban list, there's only one game, one out of the three first-round games tomorrow. There it is, the 6-11 game in the MEAC tournament. Delaware State versus our team of the people, the Savannah State Tigers, in what could be their last game ever in Division I.
Yeah, I really hope not. Being forced to reclassify, not wanting to, despite – like last year, they were one of the better teams in the conference. They appeared to have a lot coming back, but a lot of people jumped off the sinking ship. Despite kind of going through the motions, they've still had a really good year. I think they got a chance to win tomorrow. They should win tomorrow. Delaware State, centenary level bad.
Well, Delaware State won our centenary award last year, if I'm correct.
Yeah. So, but again, Savannah State, what a story that would be. And we've seen this tournament fall apart. We've seen the bracket collapse. If Savannah State won this tournament, it would be one of the cooler things that's happened in a while.
Ever. John, on a serious note, who does win this tournament? Norfolk State did win by a couple of games in the regular season and has the tournament in their home city.
It's going to be in their home city, but again, MEAC, they're not always the chalkiest of conferences, so I'm probably going to go towards the bottom half of the bracket and say NC Central can actually repeat this year.
Jopie, you wanted to give us a pick here to win the event?
I'm going to go NCAMT. I think that they have an underrated program that's on the rise. They, for an HBC, have a tremendous amount of support.
They do.
I think they can actually develop a real program that surpasses what we typically see out of the MEAC and SWACs. I think they could take that first step towards a long-term domination. Yes, domination of the MEAC.
No one dominates. I got to screw here. I don't think anyone dominates the MEAC, but I think that
I think you could see NCAMT really take steps to that.
I'm going to go NC Central. I'm going to go the other Carolina team there on the bottom half of the bracket.
Not Savannah State?
I think that there's going to be a controversial win by NC Central over Savannah State in the quarters that are going to have you screaming on March 14th there, David.
Yes.
But, David, survival board time.
Yes. Love the survival board.
This is the website. It's up there. You can see there's a survival tour tab. There's also a tab for the conference tournaments. If you want to see those brackets that we just looked at, they're all up there now. Every single conference tournament's on the site. But David, what is this survival board thing here?
Well, it tracks everybody that's still playing. It's the teams that are still playing and or the teams that the committee needs to be looking at. And we do this for the committee. Like we covered this at the beginning of the show. They have access to this. It's a tool they can use. They have internet in the room. They have internet in their offices. Like just about everyone has access to a smartphone, a computer. So at any point in the season, they can come look at this site and kind of see what's going on. And we break it down for the committee here. You see, we've actually got four categories now. One is bold and all caps. Now, it's important that we don't mess that up. I'm a little worried there, Chad, because I noticed the Big South has two teams there.
This was heading into the day, remember that.
Right. We just got to make sure we get it updated correctly because we would not want Gardner-Webb to miss the NCAA tournament because we forgot to bold them. I mean, you're with me on that, right?
Right. And let's take a look here because heading into the day here, we had 252 teams remaining with a shot to win the national championship.
Yeah.
As a result of today's action, down to 239. We lost a handful. Wow.
Yeah, we didn't lose as many. Yesterday we lost a lot.
Let's go take a look there at the Big South. Did we do it right?
You did. So there's Liberty, bold all caps. That's an automatic bid. And Gardner-Webb there too in the Big South. So bold in all caps. That way the committee knows they're in.
Lipscomb we did not remove because they were in italics. So they can
still were in italics. They're still being considered. Teams in italics are being considered, not necessarily taken, but considered. Everybody that's in bold is in.
Okay. But team like Radford is gone now.
Radford not there.
If somebody walks into the committee room and says, we should talk about Radford, they should just turn around and leave because they're wrong.
Yeah, because they're not paying attention to this board.
I guess with that, now I'm going to pull this down, David, and I think you had something else you wanted to discuss before we move on to our final thoughts.
Well, Chad, last night you wanted to, what, I don't even remember what your issue was, but the person you reached out to was so idiotic. And again, we're trying to fix college basketball. And everyone that you have reached out to has been no help. Like, whether it's Kim Kardashian or Billy Joel or, like, that baseball player for the Phillies. I mean, I don't understand why you think these people can help us. They have no connection to college basketball.
Okay, but, David, we are trying to fix college basketball's problems with the help of prominent people who get things done.
Right, yes.
So do you think you got somebody better?
Well, yeah, I know. Okay, I mean, I've been reaching out to people that can help.
Go ahead.
So, anyway, well, first, my issue is that the NCAA tournament – as a fan experience about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, was one of the greater things you could go to. It was a divided arena, like one side rooting for one team, another side rooting for another. The tickets, while expensive, were still attainable. And now with more and more money and more corporate sponsorship, schools and athletic departments that are in this event, which should be something that's exciting, are getting fewer and fewer ticket allotments, fewer and fewer students are getting any. Some schools aren't giving tickets to their students at all. And like the prices, if you go to the secondary market, are in the hundreds or even thousands of dollars for even the first and second rounds. This needs to be fixed. I mean, don't you agree that we've turned it into this corporate event?
I agree. So what are you going to do about it?
Okay. Well, I'm going to reach out to somebody that can help. Like that's what I want to do. Like somebody practical, and this person, the guy who played Biff, is who I think can help us. His name is Tom Wilson. Here's his Twitter account. And let's tweet at him here and see what he can do.
This guy is a loose cannon, Puppet. I'm afraid he's going to get future results.
Yeah.
We're not in the reality where he owns the big casino and dominates the world because he knows what every game's outcome is going to be.
Yeah. Okay. I got to get my. Yeah. But this is hard to do with no arms.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what here.
NCAA tournament tickets.
Sorry. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Sorry. A little bit of a glitch. NCAA tournament tickets cost too much and are harder to access for the common fans. We need to get the NCAA to lower ticket prices and give fewer to the corporate sponsors and figure you can help. This is the guy who played Biff. He will help us.
Well, can you say help instead of yop?
No.
Well, he can always go back to the future and there's something back there. I don't know. Yeah. I guess on that note, let me go to some final.
Old Biff was able to get into the time machine.
You're right. Let's go to some final thoughts. Joby, let me start out with you.
Yeah, well, all right. We talked about Lipscomb, their at-large chances. But Lipscomb has an echo effect that is tremendous given who they played out of conference. The first one and the most obvious is Belmont's sweep of Lipscomb gets harmed badly. Belmont might be out because they no longer have a win against a tournament team because Lipscomb's falling in an at-large space, 5-10 spots out. They're not on the bubble. They're not right on the bubble. Belmont's right on the bubble. And they don't have the win they need. TCU's lost. TCU's right on the edge. All of a sudden, they lost to a team that's not really in a tournament. And then Clemson – you would think with playing in the ACC, you'd have so many opportunities for wins. That was Clemson's second or third. Syracuse is now their second. Their third best win of the year. For a team like Clemson, this puts extra pressure. Lipscomb's loss has an effect on three other bubble teams. That is a big deal when those other bubble teams are fighting against an Indiana team, which may have cleared enough of a hurdle for now, to get into the field.
All right. Slika.
If you'll recall last year, Cal Baptist was our team of the people down in Division II, and they actually ended up making a run to the Elite Eight. Now, this year, we're going to be following the Merrimack team that actually won the Northeast 10. They're going to be transitioning up to Division I next year. So this year, they will be the number 2 seed in the East region. But, David, I got good news for you.
Yeah, we can't quite read that, unfortunately, yeah. John. But tell us what it says, please.
But it just says Mary Mac would be the number two seed, and Miles University is actually going to be the number eight seed in the Southeast. So it looks like they did overcome the dark web conspiracy.
Yeah.
And one other note, if Southern Indiana is going to be number four in the Midwest region, but if they end up somehow winning the region, they will get to play at home in Evansville in the Ford Center, which will be playing host to the Elite Eight this year.
Well, there you go. All right. David, do you want to finish off the show?
Just again, I kind of mentioned this on Twitter, and we've been mentioning it all year. If you watched the games today, and if you watched the Big South and saw the atmosphere and the excitement there, I know it was a losing effort for Radford. And if you watched certainly the Ace Sun and you saw that, and not just today, but the semifinal games as well, and you compare that to like what the Metro Atlantic is going to look like tomorrow and what the Missouri Valley, and I mean, Arch Madness is normally a good event, but still what it was today compared to that, how can you not think that campus sites for under the radar conferences is the way to go? It's idiotic to me.
I agree. I love campus sites. I love the way that those atmosphere were, even with the road team winning two of them.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to watch, but on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll be recording a bracket rundown show tomorrow, as well as a video notebook. We'll have two shows on the site tomorrow. But on behalf of Joby Fortson, John Slica, and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you again real soon.